This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about those who predict the end of the world. They try to give a specific date as to when Jesus is coming again and the world is going to end, and they fail in doing so. We're glad that you've joined us this morning, and we hope that our study this morning on alleged end-time predictions will be helpful to you, and we hope that our Bible study will be beneficial and productive. We don't want to spend our time predicting the coming of Jesus. We want to spend our time preparing for the coming of Jesus. Thank you for joining us. We always appreciate those who tune in each Saturday morning. This program is brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. My name is Chris Reeves. I'm the minister at that congregation, and we would invite you to come worship with us at 290 Warfield Boulevard, right here in Clarksville, Tennessee, or visit us on the web at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. Give us a call if we can assist you in getting a ride to one of the services, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible class. We're currently studying the life of Christ. I think you would enjoy that study. We have a worship service at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come join us. You'd be our honored guest. There have been many people through the years that have tried to predict the second coming of Christ. Let me give you a few examples going back a little way. In 1806, a chicken in Leeds, England, was supposedly predicting the coming of Christ on an egg. In 1843, William Miller of the Seventh-day Adventist Church predicted the end of the world. In 1891, Joseph Smith of the Mormons predicted the second coming of Christ in that year. In 1901, some predicted that Halley's Comet gases would bring an end to the world. 1914, Charles T. Russell of the Jehovah's Witness predicted the end of the world in that year. In 1982, Pat Robertson predicted that God would bring his judgment day upon the world. In 1997, the religious group called Heaven's Gate predicted the world would end after the appearance of the Hale-Bopp comet. And if you remember, 39 members of that particular cult committed suicide. In 1999, the famous Nostradamus prophecy predicted that the great king of terror would come. You remember the Y2K scare in the year 2000? It supposedly was to bring world chaos via computer failure, and some alleged the end of the world. In the year 2000, Richard Noon predicted that ice would cover the earth. In 2008, Ronald Wineland of God's Church Ministry predicted that millions would die in 2006 and the U.S. would collapse in 2008. In 2011, Harold Camping predicted the rapture on May 21st and the end of the world on October the 21st. These failed predictions and many others that we could give, unfortunately, just simply brought about needless responses of fear, death, sellout, and other problems that came from the various followers. Excuse me. These failed predictions have also brought about rejection of the truth from individuals who say, look at these religious fanatics. And they claim to follow the Bible, and they're making all of these failed predictions. And so it gives opportunity for people like atheists and skeptics and scientists and others to say that the Bible is not true. many failed doomsday lists can actually be found on atheist and skeptics' websites. And they have a point. The fact is, we shouldn't be predicting the coming of Jesus Christ as far as the exact date. We should be preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ. You may remember back in 2012, supposedly the ancient Indian Mayan calendar, it only went up to 2012, and so people thought that that calendar was predicting the end of the world in 2012. And I remember at that time looking at that particular topic, and when I did a Google search for the question, will the world end in 2012? I got 2,920,000,000 hits in 0.32 seconds. It was a hot topic. It was all over the web. Some 2 billion hits. Millions of dollars are spent each year on the topic of end time predictions. Movies are made about it. Books are written and printed and sold about it. Various religious ministries dedicate their lives to it. A particular business individual that I had gone to for several years quit his business over one of these end time predictions. He had been giving money to a TV ministry of a man who had predicted that the world would end. And he even got out of his business and got ready for Jesus to come. And when he didn't come, he was completely distraught over that. And he had quit his work. Someone that I had done regular business with in the community. People's lives are affected by the lies of false end time and failed doomsday predictions. And so this evening, let's remind ourselves from God's, or this morning rather, let's remind ourselves from God's word as to what the Bible teaches about these things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Here we read about the end of the city of Jerusalem in AD 70. When you turn in your New Testaments, you read about the end of certain things, but you have to keep those passages in context. First of all, Jesus talks about the end of Jerusalem. It was going to be destroyed one day, and the Romans did that in AD 70. For example, we read in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must need come, but the end is not yet." He's talking about the end of Jerusalem. The same thing in verse 13 and the same thing in verse 14. "And then shall the end come." In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was asked two questions by his disciples in verse 3. "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus had talked about the stones of the temple being cast down. So, when is this going to happen, when the stones of the temple are cast down, and when will your coming be? And so two basic questions are asked there. And in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 34, we don't have time to go down through all of this, but that is the portion of Matthew 24 that deals with the destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 34. Notice in verse 34, "This generation shall not pass away till all these things be accomplished." So some things were going to be accomplished during the generation of those people whom he was speaking to, and that would be the destruction of Jerusalem, just a few years after when Jesus said this. During Jesus' ministry in the early 30s AD, and then Jerusalem is going to be destroyed in AD 70, some 40 years later. So in the lifetime of the generation there. But then starting in verse 35 and 36, "But of that day," verse 36, "knows no one." Now he moves to the time of his own personal coming and the end of the world. And so you read about the end after the end of Jerusalem, then there is the end of the world. And we don't know when that time is. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The end of the world and the second coming of Christ will be at the same time. Some people today say that Jesus is coming again, but the end of the world will be sometime later after that, especially after he has a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. But that's not true. When Jesus comes again, that will be the end of all things. There won't be a period of time after that. Look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 and 24. But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and all power. At his coming, then cometh the end. So, the second coming of Christ and the end of the world are at the same time. We also learn from Scripture that when Jesus comes again, it will be as a thief in the night, unannounced, unexpected. Jesus describes his second coming in Matthew 24, 43 and 44 as a thief. Luke 12, 39 and 40. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, and again in verse 4. 2 Peter 3, and verse 10. When Jesus comes again, his second coming, the destruction of the world, will be as a thief in the night. A thief does not announce ahead of time when he is coming, and so unexpected and unannounced. And so we cannot predict the date or the time when Jesus is coming again. One example that I just mentioned, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And so we are given advanced warning that Jesus is coming again. We are told that he is coming again. The fact of his coming is stated, but not the when of his coming. That is not stated. Only God knows the end and the date and the time. When Jesus had finished talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, if you turn back with me to Matthew chapter 24, after Jesus talks about the destruction of Jerusalem and what was going to be accomplished during that particular generation, but of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither his Son, but the Father only. That day, he had been talking about days, plural, leading up to that, the days that lead up to the destruction of Jerusalem. But then from here on out, he talks about singular, the day. This is talking about the day of his second coming at the end of the world. That day no one knows. The Father only knows that day. And when that day comes in the Father's mind, he will tell his Son to come again. I find it interesting that all kinds of people claim to know what only the Father knows. They claim to know what angels don't even know and what Jesus himself does not even know. It's not appointed for him to know those things, only the Father. And so we read that in Matthew 24, 36, Mark 13, 32, and 33. Let's stop predicting and start preparing. There are so many people that have been led astray by failed predictions and prophecies of Jesus coming. Let us be ready for that day to come. Let us be prepared. Let us have our lives in order. Is your life in order? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Can we sit down and study the Bible together to learn what we need to do to be saved so that we can be right when Jesus comes again? We need to be spending our time preparing, not predicting. Let's look at a few other Bible passages on this matter. I'd like to spend the rest of our time this morning in 2 Peter. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 with regard to looking at Jesus coming again and the end of the world. It's going to be at the same time. It's not separated by a period of time, but Jesus' second coming and the end of the world is at the same time. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Peter says, knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There are people who don't believe that Jesus is coming again. Every day is exactly the same. He hasn't come in the past, so he's not going to come in the present or in the future. Of course, he did come in the past, his first time, and that is documented in history. There are historians that document, not only inspired historians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and others, but non-inspired historians speak of Jesus of Nazareth who lived, but his second coming. He is coming again, and some people mock that. And Peter goes on to say, these mockers willfully forget that there were heavens from old and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are and the earth by the same word have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So they forget that there was a world of old and then God destroyed that with the flood. And then God is going to use his same word to destroy the earth again with fire. And so that's the first argument that Peter makes. And then notice as he goes on to talk in verse 8, but forget not this one thing, beloved. He's been talking about what people forget, what they don't want to have in their mind. Verse 5, they willfully forget. But forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. God doesn't count time as we count time. God does not reckon time as we reckon time. Peter is not giving a mathematical formula for how to calculate each day. He's saying that God simply is on a different timetable than we are. We are bound by time. God is not. So it doesn't matter how long things have lasted in God's mind. He's made a promise to send his son again, and he's going to fulfill that promise. And he goes on to make that in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to you, or not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason that God is taking his time is not because he's slack in keeping his word, but he's long-suffering. He wants us to repent. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone, even the vilest of sinners, to be saved before he sends his son again. And so Jesus not coming is not a sign of God being slack. It's a sign of God's long suffering, giving us time to repent. And so God is going to send his son again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. So let's recap a few things. First of all, there are mockers who would say, no, Jesus is not going to come. The first thing that Peter does is he says, no, God speaks his word. Look at verse 5, by the word of God. Verse 7, by the same word, the earth has been stored up for fire. So the first thing that Peter says is that you need to remember that God's word comes true. When God says he's going to do something, such as in the flood, he keeps his word. And so when he says he's going to do it and store up the world for fire, it will happen. And so number one, the end of the earth will come when God speaks his word and burns it up with fire, it will come. Number two, God has a different time frame than we have. Number three, God, the Lord, is waiting, not because he's slack in keeping his word, but because he's long-suffering. It's actually a good thing for us, and we need to take advantage of that period in which God is waiting, not to delay and procrastinate and put off or speak against, but to repent. And then, number four, God is going to come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, that's the day of judgment. When Jesus comes, when the world ends, it will come as a thief, just like we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and other passages. It will be unannounced. It will be unannounced. It will be unexpected. We're told ahead of time that it will come, and God keeps his word, but we're not given the day nor the hour, and so we have to be prepared. We have to repent now and be ready. So the day of the Lord will come as a thief, and then what's going to happen with the earth? In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy living and godliness? So first of all, the earth will end in fire. It'll be burned up when God speaks his word. It will come as a thief. Number two, the earth will end so a new order can begin. What is that? Looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, verse 12, 2 Peter 3:12. By reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 21 and start reading in verse 1 and following, that new heavens and new earth is another way of saying heaven itself. This physical earth will be gone, and the realm of heaven will be that for those who are righteous. So the passing of an old order and the beginning of a new order in heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 1 is the parallel passage to 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. So, knowing this, Peter says in verse 11 that we ought to be in holy living and godliness. Verse 12, we need to be looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God. And we need to be looking for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We have to be righteous, right, with sins forgiven and faithful living when Jesus comes again. The end will happen contrary to all mockers and disbelievers who say it won't. The end will be unexpected. It will be contrary to all who try to predict and prognosticators who try to predict, who set a day and a time. No, it will come as a thief in the night. And the end will come with complete destruction, contrary to all who teach that some people will survive on a renewed earth. There will be no earth. It will be burnt up. There will be no predicted time. It will come as a thief. There will be no delay. It will come, despite what the mockers say. So Peter is speaking the truth on the day of the Lord, or the coming of the day of God, verse 12. It's when Jesus comes again. It's when the earth is completely burned up and gone, and we face God in judgment. We face Jesus as our judge, and knowing that he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world, he's commanded all men everywhere that they should repent. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Friends, are you in that group of the holy living and godliness? Are you in that group that will dwell in righteousness? Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter 3 and verse 14, wherefore, knowing that all of this is going to take place, that is, the earth being burned up with fire, the new heavens and the new earth, Jesus coming again, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot, and blameless in his sight. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God is waiting, but one day He will no longer wait. And that waiting is His long-suffering. It's not His slackness, it's His long-suffering. And He wants us to be saved. Take advantage of that, friends, today. Let's study together. Come, let's worship together. Let's learn what we can do to be without spot and blameless in His sight, to be ready when Jesus comes again. Let's sit down with an open mind and an open Bible and study how that we can be prepared. We're not going to spend our time predicting on this program. We want to spend our time preparing ourselves on this program to learn what to do to be right with God and how to live right each day. That's what this program is about. I will not one time have I ever done it or do I ever plan to do it on this program predict the day that Jesus is coming again. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that even if I wanted to, because it's just simply not in my ability or anybody else's ability to actually do that. Jesus will come as a thief in the night. And so, friends, let's spend our time not predicting, but preparing. Have you heard the gospel and believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Repented of your sins, confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins and live faithfully each day and worship God regularly. Are you doing those things? As an erring child of God, have you repented of your sins and prayed for forgiveness? This is the Bible way. This is how we get ready for Jesus and spend each day in our service for Him. In the New Testament, we are told how Jesus is coming. He will come in the clouds, Acts chapter 1. He will come audibly. The trump of God will sound. There'll be a shout. All that are in the tombs will hear His voice. John 5, 1 Thessalonians 4. We're told how Jesus is coming. We're told why He is coming. He is coming back again, not to die on the cross. He's already done that, but to judge the world. But we're not told when He is coming. We're told how, we're told why, but we're not told when. Let us spend our time not predicting, but preparing. Friends, will you do that? Will you be ready? The world will end when God decides it is time, and He has not revealed that time to anyone. And so, let us be spending our time making our lives ready. Are you ready for Jesus to come again? If the answer is no, then let us sit down and study God's Word with you so that we can learn what we can all do to be ready. Test your readiness. If you think you are, test that with the Scripture. But let's be prepared and ready for that day to come. There's a great day coming, and we need to be ready for that. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you have a good day.